Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Martin. Gracias everybody for joining us. And I'm really fired up because we are going back to the Midwest today. We are going to the Windy City, the home of the monsters of the Midway. Cubbies and White Sox, you guys can take your sides on that one, but there is no side to be taken when it comes to the NFL in Chicago. It's the Bears, the Bears. You know, it's the home of the Bears, best hot dogs and pizza around, my opinion. But joining us to kind of help us break down what's going on with the Bears is Lester Wiltfong Jr. He is the editor-in-chief of Windy City Gridiron, which is under the SB Nation umbrella. And he's the host of the T-Formation Conversation. He does a little photography on the side. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about that. But Lester, thank you for joining us. Bienvenido, my friend. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thanks, Jorge. It's real nice to be here. You know, I'm always available for you.
Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. Well, I think, you know, in late April, the excitement in Chicago went to a level I don't know when it's been for the Bears. Can you kind of sum up what that feel? I mean, because you hear from fans all the time. Yeah. I mean, your Twitter's very active. What was that feeling when they traded up and drafted Justin Fields?
I mean, honestly, when he was still sitting there at 11, and you know, it came news that the Bears had made a trade. You know, a lot of Bears fans thought, oh my God, please don't be Mac Jones, because that was a bunch of rumors was Mac Jones, you know, and the fact that they got Justin Fields, who, you know, I mean, if you just watch his film, I mean, I have no idea why he slipped. I mean, I kind of have an idea why he slipped. I mean, you know, but the fact that a guy that good, that talented, with that much potential, managed to slip down to a range where the Bears could easily go up and make the move. I mean, Bears fans are universally behind this decision. I mean, yeah, there's a couple guys. There's always a couple guys. But for the most part, 99% of Bears fans are fired up. They love this pick. And, you know, if it takes a while for them to get in the game, I mean, so be it. Because, you know, this is the long-term future for the Bears. This is the best, you know, potential quarterback they've had in my lifetime. I mean, it's pretty good to be a Bears fan right now, because the future definitely is bright.
I mean, it's funny. I think I saw a stat. There's never been a Bears quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards.
Never. Yeah. The best is Eric Kramer back in 1997, I believe.
Eric Kramer. Yeah, oh my goodness. Blast from the past. Ay, Dios mío. Wow. I mean, and it's so funny, you know, cause the 85 Bears are revered as one of the great teams of all time. I remember watching them. I'm old enough to have been a fan during that at that time. I remember the Super Bowl shuffle and everything like that, the fridge and obviously Sweetness. Jim McMahon was so great, but again, he did not throw for 4,000 yards on that team. And obviously Jay Cutler was also there for a few seasons, helped them some winning ways. I had Justin Fields probably number two on my board.
Yeah.
Because I remember the Clemson game, which to me was one of the most impressive college performances I've seen in a long time. And I think he got kind of ding, you know, he got really his belt, you know, he got really hurt in that game. And yep. I think that really limited him in the championship game. And that probably hurt him in his draft. Do you think that hurt him in his draft stock?
I mean, I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is just sometimes analysts tend to overanalyze the quarterbacks that are not the right skin tone, you know, so to speak. I think that had something to do with it. You know, I'm not sure how much, but there was just some really weird rumors out there about his work ethic. And it's like, you know, those were quickly debunked by his coaches, by his teammates. So I just don't know where some of that started. I think sometimes people just don't think what they say, like a lot of these guys that are big time national analysts. I don't think they give a lot of thought to exactly how their words are going to be perceived and how quickly, you know, certain things certain people will jump on those. I mean, like that's all it took, you know, last guy in, you know, once that came out about Justin Fields, I mean, that was all over the internet. It was all over social media. You know, that was what anyone could talk about. Then of course, you know, he starts falling and then Mac Jones starts rising and then everyone starts, you know, wondering what's going on with the quarterback rankings. But I was like you, I had him as my number two guy behind Trevor Lawrence. You know, he just, I mean, he did it on a big stage. I mean, that's one thing you want as a quarterback is if you can perform on the big stage in college. I mean, that kind of stuff translates. It did with Deshaun Watson. So like when the Bears took Mitch Trubisky, I mean, yes, he was a good prospect, and most analysts had him ranked as the best quarterback in that draft. But for me, I looked at it, and I'm like, you got a guy like Deshaun Watson sitting right there who has done it, again, on the big stage. He has been the man for his entire collegiate career. You know, of course, hindsight tells us, you know, he has some issues now. And then, of course, a guy like Mahomes was the top guy. But Trubisky shouldn't have been that pick at that time because he just, you know, he was fine. But, you know, again, I want a guy that's done it. You know, if you've done it, then you're going to do it again at some point. If you have that alpha mentality, you know, that shines through in the NFL. And that's a guy like Justin Fields. He has that.
I mean, going back to that, I know we're looking forward in this, yeah. But kind of you mentioned the Mitchell Trubisky pick, and obviously he went in the same draft as Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, the reigning, you know, the MVP in both Super Bowl and the NFL. But that draft pick, I mean, when going into it, you had seen all three. What was kind of your assessment of them?
That year, I mean, I'm not a huge college scouting guy, but I mean, I know enough to be dangerous. You know what I mean? So, like for me, the rankings that year I had at Watson, Mahomes, Trubisky. Again, I just look at the body of work, and with Trubisky, he is really only a 1 year starter. You know, yes, he looked pretty good. Yes, he tested well. He had really good interviews. You know, but again, for me, it comes down to college productivity. And again, the big stage to me makes a big deal. And a guy like Watson, you know, that's why he was my top guy, because, you know, he had won championships. You know, he had performed at an elite level against the best competition. And to me, that was the no-brainer pick at the time. Hindsight still shows us he has some issues in his past that have kind of crept up on him, and his career is kind of derailed right now. But for me, I would have went Watson at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking at that and being like, okay, I've seen him tear up NFL defenses in the Alabama in back-to-back championship games. Yeah. And I just thought there's a lot of guys who he was beating up on that are playing on Sunday. So, you know, I wasn't surprised. I hadn't seen a lot of Mahomes at the time. But let's one thing that I wanted to ask about with Fields before we kind of talk about the QB battle is you mentioned him doing it on the big stage. I also wanted to ask, how big is it that he did it in the Midwest, where, you know, he's doing it in Ohio, he's doing it in Michigan, he's doing it where weather is an issue.
Yeah.
And how big is that to be able to translate to playing in Chicago in December and hopefully, you know, in November, yeah, in December and hopefully January?
I think it helps to a point. I mean, he's from Georgia, you know, so he that's where he kind of grew up. You know, he had a year in Georgia, but again, like I said, he played at Ohio State. He played in the Midwest. And I think there's something to have done it before. I mean, if you've never played in that weather and you go into it, it takes your body a little bit to get used to it. And then I know as Bears fans, a lot of Bears fans are really into the bear weather thing. I mean, they think it really matters. You know, they want to play in the mud and the rain and the snow. So the fact that he's coming from an area where that happened, I think that's good for him and good for the fans.
Oh, well, muy bien, muy bien. Well, let's talk about the, you know, I think some Bears fans would want him to go Russell Wilson and start on week one.
Yeah.
Coach Matt Nagy has already come out on Chris Collinsworth's podcast and say there is no way in the world that that anyone but Andy Dalton's going to start on week one on Sunday Night Football out here in my backyard against the Rams. And I think it makes sense. I mean, do you want to throw the rookie all of a sudden? He's going to be staring down Aaron Donald from 3 feet away, you know, across the line of scrimmage. What can you kind of, and I kind of looked at that early schedule. You've got obviously you got the Rams early on, but you got the Bengals in there who were not a world beating defense. You've also got Detroit, which is rebuilding, and you got the Raiders who were rebuilding defense in the first five games. I think you got Cleveland in there and they're a formidable defense, but let's say they get off to a 3-2 start and Andy Dalton is playing serviceable. How do you kind of see this shaking out? Or, I mean, could it be something where they wait until week 10 bye, or could it be something earlier? Because you always think that a first round quarterback is going to play in that first year.
Yeah. I just think the situation, the way you know, it's with Coach Matt Nagy, you know, this staff has kind of been through a little bit of this kind of before. I think they understand the value in keeping the rookie on the bench, but I also think that with a guy like Justin Fields, you know, he is such a physical talent, but also he has such a high football IQ. I just think at some point, whether the Bears are 3-2 or doing even better, and Dalton's, you know, serviceable or doing even better, I think at some point it's going to be something the entire franchise can just feel that, hey, Justin Fields is ready. And I think at that point, you know, it may be in the bye, it may be next year, whatever it is, I think that's the point where they're going to say, we have to make the change, because the players feel it, the coaches know it. We all understand that Justin Fields has done the entire practices. He's done everything we've asked for. He's prepared the right way. He knows his job. He knows his role. He knows the plays. He understands the checks. You know, there's no reason not to play him. And I think at that point, again, it'll be something that they all just feel, and they'll make the move.
Well, speaking of moves, let's go to the running backs real quick. You know, you've got David Montgomery, who had that spectacular ending to the season. You've also got guys like Tariq Cohen, Damian Williams, Khalil Herbert came in the draft. We were talking a little bit beforehand that David Montgomery hasn't been the darling. Some people in the fantasy industry are a little bit skeptical of that finish. I looked at the broken tackle rate. I saw those games and I felt like I saw a different runner than the beginning of the season, when maybe he was tentative because of that groin injury. But can you kind of break down how, you know, David Montgomery's outlook going into the season, and kind of the way the touches are going to be broken up with him and Cohen, who's coming back from injury, and, you know, the others?
You know, the last time that the Bears brought in a legit number two, they signed Mike Davis to back up Montgomery, and Matt Nagy never would play Mike Davis for whatever reason. And then, of course, you know, if you realize Mike Davis went on and he had a really nice year last year in Carolina. So he's a quality tailback, but so the Bears brought in a guy like Damian Williams. I'm not sure how they're going to work the carries, because, like I said, the last time they did it, they just didn't give much reps to him. I think with a guy like David Montgomery, you know, I think he is the real deal. I think he is going to be a guy that it is always going to be, you know, really good, because, you know, he could also play some wide out. You know, Matt Nagy will move his tailbacks all over the offense just to kind of get matchups. And I think he had close to 50 balls last year, maybe a little more. You know, he's going to get those catches for you. He's going to get the yards for you. You know, ideally, I think that they would want to scale some of his work back and give some of those carries to Damian Williams. But until I see it happen, you know, I'm not going to believe it, because, like I said, last time they had a guy in here, they just didn't do it. And with a guy like David Montgomery, you know, I'm not sure if you were, but, you know, he worked with a speed trainer for the last year, and it's been a big talk in Chicago. You know, his 40 time, you know, reportedly went from a 4.6 in college, that he's down to a 4.4 now. He added 1.5 miles per hour on his top speed. You know, basically what he did is the speed coach broke down his actual running form, and they realized he had too much movement in his hips. So they kind of tightened him up, and that kind of helps his overall top speed. And if that's the case, if he can hit the hole quicker, if he can get through the line quicker, you know, that may result in more explosive plays for David Montgomery and for the Bears.
I think your article kind of broke, said there was a quote in there of, I it was like I learned how to run.
Yeah.
Brand new.
That's what he said. I mean, because, like, so if you watch him at college and through the Bears, you kind of do see where he's really wiggly when he runs. Like, he doesn't have a lot of, I mean, he has good contact balance, you know, when he runs the ball, but you can kind of see him. He kind of has that, like the way they describe it is just the wobbling hips. You know, so, you know, he went with an actual speed trainer who trains guys for speed. He's trained guys that have been in the Olympics, you know, so you learn the actual form, you know, how to keep your body, you know, straight when you're running, and it's helped his overall top speed. And I think we saw some of that last year towards the end of the season. He had that big, big long run against the Packers. He had a really good game against the Texans. You know, I think we kind of see his top speed kind of picked up, and, you know, they've talked about it, and I think we have seen some of that happen. So I think if this year, if that's the case, and the Bears' old line is much improved, and, you know, on paper it should be, I think he should have another big year coming up.
And Tariq Cohen, kind of what's his? I mean, there's still some things lingering. Obviously, yeah, you know, torn ACL is not easy to come back from. Is the outlook that he may be limited at the beginning of the season? What's kind of the outlook for him?
Right now he's on the PUP list. So I know he did practice some at OTAs and the mini camp in the summer. The last few practices of camp though, in mini camp in June, they did hold him out. They said it was more precautionary, but then of course he ends up on the PUP list. So now everyone's wondering what's going on with Cohen. But like you said, it's an ACL injury. It was less than a year ago. It happened in week three. So odds are he's not, you know, all the way back, but with the surgery is how it is these days, you know, you can come back in a year from that. He's a running back. So of course, you know, he may even be better in 2 years, you know, but the Bears give him a big contract a year ago. You know, they count on him being a part of the future for the Bears. You know, I think with Williams coming in, that could let Tariq Cohen be more of the actual number three tailback, where he's kind of coming in and out in passing situations. You know, you don't want to see the Bears tip their hand with him in the lineup. You know, oh, it's a pass, here's Cohen. You know, but he has the ability to, again, like Nagy wants to line his guys up all over the offense so that the Bears can come in with two tailbacks and then split Cohen out to receiver or in the slot. And I think he has a place where he thrives out there. You know, he'll catch a ton of balls for you. You know, the overall yardage may not be that great unless, you know, he has some good yards after the catch, you know, but, you know, with a more accurate quarterback situation, you know, getting the ball in a situation where he can, you know, keep running, you know, maybe that does pick up for him and for a guy like Montgomery as well.
Yeah, I think you mentioned a little bit his catches were, his receiving work was a little bit underrated last year. And I think that's one of the things that may make him a bargain this year. I think I'm looking at his numbers right now. He had last year, he had 54 receptions. I mean, that's as big as it gets. That is wonderful. Well, let's talk about receptions. And I want to give kind of the floor to the you know, you talked about how it's very rare to have a wide receiver one, and the Bears have a true wide receiver one in Allen Robinson. He's coming back. He got franchise tagged, so he's on a one-year deal. How big – you know, considering what he has, that he hasn't had the greatest quarterback play in the last Ever. Few years. And yeah, exactly. Even going back to his Jacksonville days, how much, special is it that this is a guy who can, you know, especially in the last two seasons, has gotten 100 receptions in a season. How much of a weapon is he, and could he be for the Dalton Fields combo this season?
I mean, like when you look at his overall game, like he doesn't have the elite speed. He doesn't have the elite athleticism. You know, he's not, you know, 6'4", 6'4", 240, like some of these really big receivers out there, you know, but he does everything really good when he's out there. Plus, he's such a precise route runner. You know, his quarterbacks know that on the given play, he'll be where he's supposed to be. You know, he'll understand the checks. He'll understand the option routes that he has to make. He'll make the right decision. You know, if he has an option route, you know, and he's going to be on the same page as his quarterbacks at all times. So he's just such a valuable asset in that case. You know, like I said, he is a true number one. He is going to catch, you know, close to, you know, at least 100 balls, 1,000 yards. You know, he's going to be that guy that does the volume. You know, he's going to get the reps. You know, as far as the Bears receiving corps go, you know, they're going to love having a guy like Dalton. You know, they're going to love having a guy like Fields at some point, because, you know, they've been used to Trubisky. And while Mitch had a nice year a couple years ago, the last 2 years have been really mediocre. His accuracy issues kind of have flared up at times. His deep ball has kind of been really questionable at times. So, you know, Dalton, you know, his strength's not the deep ball. He's really good short to intermediate, you know, but perhaps some of that opens up this year because, you know, he has a little bit more explosive guys on the team with a guy like Mooney. A guy like Darnell Mooney who's the Bears' number two. You know, I just think he's primed for a huge season, because there were so many times last year where he was just missed, you know, like on a few of the throws you just watch, you know, like what does Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, what did they see where they threw the ball so errantly? And a guy like Mooney was just wide open. So I think Mooney's going to have a really nice year this year. And I think with the big trade with Miller going to the Texans, it'll open up a spot. Right now, it's kind of unknown who'll take that third role there. They signed Damir Bird from the Patriots. They brought in Marquise Goodwin, who was, you know, best known for his time in San Fran. And Goodwin has kind of got the buzz during summer. But I think Bird is more accomplished receiver. I think Bird may get those third wideout reps.
What was the buzz around Goodwin? Because obviously, you know, someone with his speed.
For some reason, like the Bears social media team, you know, they only share clips. I mean, there was obviously, you know, no fans at OTAs, no fans at training camp. So, you know, they just showed a few clips, and there were a few clips that showed him going deep, catching the ball, you know, really excited, really, really energetic. And that's enough for fans. I mean, fans see that, they get fired up. So they assume Goodwin is going to be the next big breakout star for the Bears. But Goodwin is 30 years old. Yes, he's a great athlete, you know, but his best season, I think, was 50 catches, and it was, I think, 4 years ago. So this is a guy that, you know, he hasn't had high productivity in the NFL in quite some time. I would love to see him have a great season for the Bears, obviously, but I just think from a standpoint where you look at what have you done for me lately, a guy like Bird, you know, was pretty good last year for the Patriots on a really bad offense there.
Well, let's go over to the tight ends. There was so much hype draft hype around Cole Kmet, and now going into year two, there's a lot of attention being paid to him, but Jimmy Graham is still there. How do you see the targets kind of flowing to the tight ends this year?
I think it'd probably be really close to what they did last year with Graham. You know, Graham is obviously, he's the receiving tight end in the Bears offense. They call him the U. A guy like Kmet is the Y. He's the inline blocker. But Kmet is athletic enough where he can line up kind of all over the place as well. I'm not saying he's on the same level as Travis Kelce, but a guy like Kelce, you know, he can kind of line up anywhere. That's kind of where the Bears envision Kmet to be. And I think you may see him steal some rep from Graham this season. Obviously, Kmet is young and ascending. And Graham is, you know, towards the end of his career. So ideally, the Bears would like to kind of flip some of their playing time a little bit. And if they feel they can trust Kmet to play some of the Y, they'll do that. You know, but right now the jury's out on that because they still envision, like I said, it's definitely a two-tiered split what they're going to do there. The backups behind them, they really, you know, they just signed Jesse James to kind of back up the Y. He's not going to get a lot of reps. So it'll be mostly Kmet, mostly Graham. They'll be your top two guys at tight end. And as far as the reps go, it'll be Graham in the red zone. But I mean, I would like to see Kmet get the ball because, like I said, he wasn't targeting much last year early. But as the year went on, they kind of found ways to get in the ball, and he runs angry. You know, he's not the athlete that Graham was back in the day. You know, I think he was a 4.7 guy. You know, so he doesn't have like bad speed. He's just not quite as fast as some of the move tight ends in the NFL, like the Waller, the Kelce, you know, Ertz in his prime. So he doesn't have that kind of speed. You know, but you know, he's 6'5", he's like 255, 260, you know, he's jacked up, you know, he runs powerful, he runs strong, and I think he's a guy that can kind of make a difference if the Bears have, you know, if they could find a way to kind of get him involved in the offense a little more.
Yeah, it's incredible how the tight ends, they seem to have a prototype. They're all 6'4", 6'5", about 250 pounds, 250 to 260 pounds. It's just, it's like their factory, but there's only, you know, 20 yeah. of them, maybe 20 of them really in the NFL, and maybe really only a handful that are big time players. Offensive line to me is one of the unsung heroes when it comes to fantasy football success. And the Bears drafted Tevin Jenkins early in the draft. They lost their previous left tackle. How do you see the offensive line improving, holding steady? How do you see them progressing?
Well, you kind of mentioned earlier the way the Bears running game improved last year as the year went on, and that was because the O-line got healthy. You know, in the mid part of the year last year, there were several injuries. There were some guys going on the COVID list on their O-line, you know, so they were playing guys that in positions that have never played those spots before. So that's one reason why the Bears run game and the Bears overall offense was so bad, you know, last year. But after their bye week, things kind of stabilized. They figured out Sam Mustipher could play a little bit at the center spot for him. You know, he kind of has, you know, he lacks a little bit physically last year, but he understands the mental aspects of the game. He knows how to get his guys lined up. And he kind of helped stabilize what they wanted to do there. And then you mentioned, you know, they drafted a guy like Jenkins. And he'll struggle a bit as a rookie at left tackle just because that's what happens. You know, but you watch his tape at the college, and he's just you know, he's a mauler. He's athletic. You know, he's nasty. He's mean. He kind of fits it right in there, what the Bears want to do. So going into this season, you know, the Bears are healthy up front. They have guys in places they feel they can thrive in. I mentioned Mustafer. They have Cody White here, who has been center for them. He is now going to play left guard. James Daniels kind of played a little bit of center and guard. He's going to move over to right guard. A guy like Jermaine Ifedi, who played right guard for him last year early and right tackle late. He kind of failed as a right tackle in Seattle, you know, but he has dropped. I mean, there's no official word on his weight, but he has dropped, you know, it looks like, you know, 20, 30 pounds. He is in great shape right now. The power is still there. And Bears O-line coach Juan Castillo said that they found something in his technique at tackle where he was just not playing with right angles. So they think they kind of fixed what he wanted to do. And if you look at his tape last year at tackle, it did look much different than what happened in Seattle. So if Ifedi can lock down right tackle, the interior solid, Tevin Jenkins will have his moments. But if you only have one guy that O-line has to help out from time to time until he kind of gets, you know, gets things righted, that's a good way to have a good success up front.
Let's go to the other side of the ball. One last football question. You've got the Bears, you know, you've still got guys like Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith. You've still got it was not the elite defense of 2018, which was probably the best defense. They had their moments last year. Where do you see this defense having strengths, weaknesses this year for when people are looking about, you know, matching up against the Bears and they've got players going up against them?
I think they were still a top 10 DVOA unit last year. You know, they've kind of always been kind of in that range. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have as many of the really impactful plays a year ago. Part of that is the scheme. They're planning on going back to a more of a Vic Fangio style this year. They're bringing in Sean Desai, who was a first-year coordinator. He's been with the Bears for, I think, 7 or 8 years now, so he's kind of seen it all. You know, he kind of learned under Vic Fangio. That's kind of was his guy, you know, when Vic was in Chicago. So this just the fact they're kind of going back to the more of the zone-based stuff. They're going to have a guy like a Jackson, who was incredible a couple years ago as an all-pro. You know, they're going to have him more back where he can kind of use his instincts more. You know, he was in coverage too much the last couple years under Pagano, because with Pagano, he likes doing a little more stuff with man. Vic's, you know, his scheme is kind of taking the NFL by storm right now. So if the Bears can get back to some of that, I think some of the fumbles should kind of pick up, and those turnovers are really what helps, you know, obviously with the guys in fantasy. So, you know, if that happens, you know, I think it's a good thing for the Bears.
Do you see them more, do you see them stronger against the run or the pass? Either one?
Yeah, I think last year, you know, they slipped a little bit against the run, but they are going to get their big nose tackle back, Eddie Goldman. He's coming back after opting out last year. You know, he'll help their run defense a little bit. They still have Akeem Hicks up front. You know, they move Bilal Nichols now from the nose to his more natural defensive end position. And then, of course, you have a guy like Khalil Mack, who's just all world. You know, his actual numbers aren't impressive when you look at the numbers. When you watch the film, though, he's just a monster. I mean, he sets the edge. You know, he's after the quarterbacks every play. You know, he just says so much for a defense, you know, up front, where he kind of gets everything set up. And then again, I mentioned Goldman being back should be huge. Hicks is always going to be a monster. Mm-hmm. If they can get Robert Quinn kind of unlocked on the other side, who he has had a lot of production in his NFL career, but last year he had a foot injury early. It kind of hampered him the entire season. He you know, it was something that the Bears didn't really talk about too much, but it was kind of brought up towards as the year wore on. So if he can get back to kind of his old ways, I think the Bears defense can get some good sacks here.
Awesome. I mean, you gave us in less than 30 minutes, you gave us a great breakdown all throughout the Bears. Since we don't care, I'm not big on kickers, so we won't get into that. But I always
Bears
like
have a great kicker for a change. You know, with a guy like Santos. I mean, he was the most accurate kicker in Bears history a year ago. I think he had like 27, 28 straight field goals. You know, I mean, I'm like you. I don't draft kickers, but. But Santos is a guy that I'll get on waivers when he's around every week.
So on outside of the Bears, obviously you play fantasy. Is there kind of a sleeper, some player that you want to leave your drafts with? Not necessarily a sleeper, or somebody you want to make sure you're drafting.
You know, I haven't really gotten too deep into my my stuff yet. But as far as sleeper goes, I mean, I mentioned him earlier, a guy like Darnell Mooney. I think Mooney, a guy who has, you know, incredible potential because he has, you know, 4.3 speed. You know, he has quarterbacks now that can get in the ball where he can make some stuff. And when he had the ball in his hands last year, he showed an ability to make guys miss he has obviously the top end speed, and I think he's a guy that, you know, if used properly, he can get well past 1,000 yards this season.
And yeah, he's a guy that I've been looking at. I look at a lot, like in the, you know, from the 10th round on.
Yeah,
kind of like that, a guy like him, Henry Ruggs, Gabriel Davis, kind of similar type of those home run hitters that could pop this year. I think Mecole Hardman's another one, but
yeah, he's always a guy.
Yeah. You always want a part of that offense, but I want to close out with a fun one. This being the Familia FFP podcast, we are Latino focused. Heart and soul is our big Mexican family, and the heart and soul of a big Mexican family is food. So tacos are, you know, one of those life. Things I don't know. Yeah, they are life. and this is a Tuesday that we're recording this on, but what are some of your favorite tacos? Taco fillings.
I'll be honest, I like it all. I mean, I don't get down with the tongue too much. That's probably the one thing that I really don't touch. But pretty much anything else, you know, I like the pork, the carnitas, chicken, steak. I mean, I'll do it all. I mean, there's a couple places here in Kenosha where I live that are really good Mexican food. So, you know, at least once a week, we try and stop by and get some tacos from there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that, you know, in places that you don't expect to get good Mexican food, that to hear people say, oh, I get great stuff here. And because, I mean, I've never been to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I've never been to Wisconsin. I'd love to visit. Yeah. I still have a lasting memory. I was in Vermont a few years ago, and I stumbled into the one Mexican place that they had there, and it wasn't the best.
For me, it has to be authentic. I mean, because like that's what I grew up on. Like when I was younger, I grew up in a Mexican family. Honestly, my mom married a guy from Mexico, so like that was my stepdad for most of my youth. So like, again, like you said, familia, it was big family parties, it was good food all the time. So like I grew up on the real stuff. So like if I go to a place and it's I just know, I'm like, this is not how it was made by my grandma. She didn't make it like this. What do you get this out of here? I don't want to eat this crap. So I want, if it's real authentic, it's good for me. And if I can find something like that, I'm down with it.
Yeah, and I hear you. I mean, us growing up in a big Mexican familia, there are certain things. I mean, I'll try anything. I haven't had lengua since I was a kid, so I just can't do that, even though my parents both love it. So I love and loved it, but I'll let them enjoy it. But mi amigo, this is awesome. This is awesome. Esto fue un gran placer. Thank you so much for doing it.
Anytime.
You tell me if you could share with the Familia community, where are they going to find your work? I know I teased it a little bit at the beginning. Yep. Please share.
You can find me on writing about the Bears on WindyCityGridiron.com. We also have a podcast channel. There's four shows on there right now kicking. Mine is called T-Formation Conversation. And I'm also on Twitter at WiltFongJR.
Oh, awesome. And I saw the photography in your Twitter bio. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's kind of been on hold a little bit with the whole COVID thing, but it's my wife's company. I kind of help her out as their secondary photographer, so to speak, but it's fun. I love it. I like being artistic. She does the stuff with the families, but honestly her jam is more like dark stuff, real dark, like horror photography. So that's kind of cool. So, when we're able to do it, that's something that we like to do.
Halloween's not far away. Yeah. So that's when and I know you're going to be busy as all get out now that the Bears are, have reported, and the next several months are going to be big time. Lester Otravez, thank you. Familia, eso es todo for our show. Again, thank you to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our podcast gets out to the Familia community. Also, thank you to YouTube for putting our faces out there and letting us share through those channels. Please make sure you subscribe at Familia FFB wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. You can also find me at Jorge Martin 17, just like it says right here. You can on Twitter, our Familia. You can also go to Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB. And you can also find original content at familiaffb.com, where you get Familia FFB, which I call fantasy football con un sabor Latino. So everybody, Lester Otravez, muchas gracias. And to our Familia community,